Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Happy New Year! It's 2019!
Well, it's almost February, actually, so I mean, like, when this podcast's going out.
Happy February.
It's, how you guys doing? February's not very long, obviously, because it's got, like, a couple of days off, and then, you know, we're ploughing into the year. We're like, bam!
Jeez.
Give it a good old... Plowing.
Came out more like erotic than I had planned. Just
you know what I
smashing.
Did last weekend? I fucking plowed your year. Fucking bitch.
Plowed right into that year.
Plowed the fuck out of your year. Year fucking loved. Year was fucking loving. Year hasn't been plowed that hard since 2012. I'll tell you what, bro.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That was a good year. No, holy shit.
2012 is a vintage year, I'd say.
I don't even remember it. I can't even remember what happened.
Yeah.
Talking of vintage years, Sips posted a flipping picture of his student ID from 1996.
He looked like a GI.
I got the student card from 97 as well, but I think like in 97 I must have changed wallets or something because the 97 student card is very like not grimy, but you know when you have something in your wallet and your wallet's always in your back pocket and you sit on it all the time?
Yeah.
It's got like that fade on it sort of thing, so it's harder to take a picture. Thing is, when I was in high school, they didn't have digital cameras, so every picture I have of myself from an early age is a developed photo in an album somewhere in my mom's house that I have no access to. So
It's weird because you know that the 2009-2019 thing that's been going around on Twitter and everything like that. I don't have that many pictures from 2009, like of me.
I mean, I haven't changed much since 2009 because I wasn't 12 in 2009.
Right, exactly.
Either.
I was just like 30, here's me with slightly more hair. So I thought I'd go back to 1999, but I hit the same wall, which is I didn't have a fucking
just bald,
digital
still
camera.
The same, just yeah. exactly the same problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Same
yeah.
man.
Just you had like big afro, but you just look the same otherwise.
You're like. Patrick Stewart, P-Flex, that's the thing. You know, you look ageless because the hair is such a big part of your appearance that when you don't have any, like, you just
Patrick
don't appear
Stewart
to
looks
age.
Ageless. Have you seen him recently?
Looks old as fuck.
Motherfucker's Does aging. He? Yeah.
Like, well, he is like 80 years old now. I mean, come on.
And he looks it, which
he
which
does, yeah.
makes your point fucking ridiculous.
Totally moot.
Well,
totally moved.
I don't know. I still reckon he could pull off the old Captain Picard. When did he do Captain Picard? How long
they're
ago was that?
They're doing it, aren't they? They're doing like a reunion something
well, this
or
is what
other,
I
aren't
heard.
They?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they do with Star Trek. If you think about the Star Trek movies, wasn't there a Simpsons episode? Star Trek 11. So Very Tired, I think is what it's called.
Something like
and
that,
they're all like really old. Like Captain, Klingons off the starboard bow. Again with the Klingons. You know, it's just like the same shit. But
they're all done with it,
87 was when he started doing Next Generation.
Damn. God damn.
I know, that's like 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago.
That was some fucking ahead of its time TV.
Just going to say, it's impressive that came out in 87. That's nuts.
Because most TV in the 80s, hate to break it to you kids, was fucking awful.
It was pretty bad,
It was really fucking bad.
I remember it fondly, but it was pretty bad.
But like The A-Team and Night Rider, those weren't kid shows. They were primetime shows.
MASH. Remember Tour of Duty? Did you ever see that one?
Tour of Duty. Filmed in some guy's backyard.
Yeah, pretty
California.
Much, yeah. Yeah, I remember A-Team. Then they had like Dynasty and Dallas and all those as well. They were all on.
By the way, we haven't done the podcast in a while. We've gone straight into nostalgia.
Straight back to the 80s.
Straight back. You didn't have phones. We had
straight
paper
back.
Cups.
Okay, well, let's talk about something recent then. What have you guys been doing post? We don't need to talk about the holidays because everybody just does the same shit all the time, right? Like, we don't need to talk about that. What have you done since New? What have you done in 2019 of any note whatsoever? I got one.
Okay.
Listen to this, all right? It ends in a tragedy as well. This is quite the tale. So in 2019, from New Year's Eve, when the clock ticked over to 2019, I played Dota, okay? I played Dota. I played 13 games of Dota, and I won them all, okay?
Did you really?
On a huge win streak for 2019. Nobody had ever beaten me in 2019. And then I made the mistake of joining a game with Cockwobblemeister, and now... And now my perfect record has been tarnished. I've got one loss, and I haven't played since. It hit me hard. This was maybe a week ago. But also, I've been playing
with Cockwobblemeister. He's like as bad as it gets.
I've been playing an anime gacha game as well, which has taken up a lot of my time.
Son of a
bitch. But I know. I don't know why I did. It was a low prio game as well.
Even worse.
I know. It was like a single draft. And, you know, every time you get into a single draft, you know that the enemy team is going to luck out and get their favorite heroes.
Yeah. Because
these guys stomped the shit out of us. Like, it was crazy. It was so, so disheartening. So I haven't played since.
Oh, God. These games.
So it goes.
I'm so glad I quit.
What'd you do, Lulu?
I've played so many different games over the last, like... Because I've been going through all these top games of 2018,
right?
I've been playing all the best games from 2018. And, man, there's some amazing games out there. Some really, really interesting, fun, like, genres like point and clicks. And, you know, there's like, mystery games and platformers and puzzle games and strategy games and, like, iPhone games and VR stuff. Like, I've just been playing
That new Imperator Rome game by Paradox is awesome.
Yeah.
You guys seen any of the the dev stuff about it? Fuck, it looks really good.
It looks good. So, I love that era.
Did you watch some movies? Yeah. I watched a movie yesterday on Netflix for some reason.
Right.
I watched a movie. I just had it on in the background while I was playing other stuff. And it was called Christine, right? And it was about Christine Chubbuck. And I recognized her name.
Who?
Okay, I recognized her a little bit, but I didn't know why. And she
Christine
was
Christine Chungus?
Christine Chubbuck. She was like famous because she, in the 70s. She in the 70s, when like a little bit like.
Oh, I'm 60s, reading it. Yeah, I've seen this.
She was the first person to commit suicide. On live TV.
Ever. Christine...
Ever. Chungus. Well, I mean, I assume there's not actually that many people who've committed suicide live on TV, but...
Christine. In a film based on true events, an awkward but ambitious TV reporter struggles to adapt when she's ordered to focus on violent and salacious stories.
Yes, that's the thing that we were talking about already. Like, you know, back when Sips was in Vietnam, when that picture was taken, you know, the press was all, like, hungry for crap. And drivel and salacious stuff, you know, sex sells and all this. You know, it's a big time. You know, journalism always has to strive and fight against the increment, you know, the tabloidy crap.
Yeah.
You know,
Christine Chubbuck. Oh, yeah. 29-year-old television reporter, Sarasota, Florida.
It's quite a sad story, really. But
tragic.
It was a bit tragic, and I enjoyed it. I've been watching tons of shitty movies, and it wasn't a great movie, honestly. I'd give it like a fucking solid 4 out of 10. But yeah, I felt like when I was watching it, I was like, I'm like PFLAX now, because PFLAX just turns on the TV and watches whatever crap movie's on that day, right? Whereas I'm the same. I just click on whatever Netflix like shits out at me that day.
What are you
and
saying?
Just leave it
you're
on
saying
the background.
I'm not a selective viewer, that I just watch whatever?
He just watches like whatever crap is on. He's one
it's
of those.
It's nice, though, sometimes.
But just... why are you throwing me under that bus?
I'm not throwing you under the bus.
You did.
I'm
you said I watch TV like PFLAX. I just watch any old shit.
It's easy to just scapegoat a dad. That's why. You know,
they don't.
They have no feelings. They don't do anything interesting. You know, they just watch whatever crap is on
TV. Offended.
They don't even look at the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes before they watch something.
Tell me a movie that you've watched the last 2 days, PFLAX.
Last 2 days? I watched a Harry Potter movie with my kids, but I've been away for a week and a half, so I haven't been doing movie watching. But I did watch Bird Box before I went away.
Okay.
Oh, is that the one? I saw that. That's Sandra Bullock blindfolds herself and does stuff.
That's exactly it. That's a good summary. I actually, when I came down to Bristol for Christmas, I bought the book. Because I needed something to read, you know, when I was not working with you guys and I was in the hotel room. So I read it and, like, it's a real easy read. It's quite badly written. And oddly enough, I hadn't seen this done before. The book ends and then there's like another 30, 40 odd pages. And you're like, what's all this? It must be like a fucking the author going on and on about the book or whatever, he's like stuck another short story at the back.
Nice.
So I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was terrible. The short story was awful. I got it partway through it. I was like, this is garbs, and threw it away. But it was like, why on earth would you cheat me by selling me a book called Bird Box, and then the last, like, eighth of the book ain't Bird Box. It's just some other shit. It's bird-brained is what the last eighth of the book is.
Nice.
I felt cheated.
Well done.
I felt cheated.
Do you reckon they had to do that to just like pad it out to like the recommended novel length?
Exactly.
Or else the book would be too thin and people wouldn't buy it?
Why is it called Bird Box?
So it's basically, the gist of it is that there are these creatures or something. We're not quite sure what. But if you look at them, you go crazy and either kill yourself or the people around you and then yourself, right? So there's something, some entity that is out there. And if you see it, you go bonkers.
Right. So it's like a sci-fi sort of thing.
Yeah, sort of world's over,
right,
kind of, you know, that kind of
right.
stuff.
I thought it was like, because my wife was telling me about it. She's like, there's this fucking stupid ass, like, Netflix, I don't know what they're doing. Like, why is Sandra Bullock going around with the blindfold on, doing stuff?
And then they had to, like, you would need to watch the movie.
They had to release a statement that said, don't fucking go around with a blindfold on in your everyday life because it's dangerous as well. So I thought it was like true story of a person who decided to do everything with
a
blindfold on or something. Yeah. I thought it was like a real life sort of thing.
No. It's like, so the gist of it is you have to wear a blindfold because if you look at them, even if you look at video footage of them, you go nuts. So the bird box is because they have a box with some birds in it and the birds go if something comes close. So they thought it would act as like a sort of a warning system,
right?
It
sounds similar to like the Quiet Place. Remember we saw that,
it
Lewis?
It is a little bit similar to the Quiet Place, A Quiet Place, but it's different. A Quiet Place was a lot better.
That movie was great. It was one of those movies that I went into with no expectations whatsoever. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know who was in it. I didn't know anything about it. I just got dragged to the movie theater by two guys who were like, yeah, let's watch this. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. So it's similar-ish, I guess, in that it's like a family, end of the world, some monsters. But honestly, the book for Bird Box isn't great. It's like it's okay. And the film is pretty bad. Like, I don't know why it's so widely watched. I think because it's got Sandra Bullock and she's got a blindfold on. And you're like, why is she wearing a blindfold? So you kind of watch it to see what's up. But it's pretty bad, honestly. And they missed out a lot of stuff that made the book actually quite good and creepy. It was just kind of garbs. But anyway, so that was probably the last film I watched. I don't recommend it, in all honesty. But actually, the last film I did watch was True Sight, the new episode of True Sight, the Dota movie, which is about how OG won TI8.
Right.
So that was where I was. For the last week and a half, I was in Bucharest for about 8 days, and there was a tournament there. And then after that, I went to Copenhagen. Got back yesterday, and I was the co-host of the premiere in the Pilles Theater in Copenhagen, and I was the stage host with Casey, and we introduced the film. Everybody watches the film, and then we got the team on the stage, and we interviewed them for about half an hour. I had questions from the audience and stuff like that, and it was cool. That was what I did, and that was why there was that guy that posted that picture. I retweeted it. Where he said, met PFLAX today, and there was like a Reddit thread, and it wasn't
That's
me.
Hilarious.
It was just some motherfucking guy.
It looks so much like you as well, but like
it's
not
nothing
quite,
like me.
But, you know, like, it was a bald guy with glasses, basically, and it was just quite funny.
Yeah, he was like, PFLAX, but the guy played along with it. So he was, the guy that thought it was me was chatting to this guy, and the other guy was like, pretending to be me. He was just going along with it.
Was this just
in Copenhagen?
As well.
Yeah, in Copenhagen. So the guy must have been at the premiere.
You were like in the background.
I wish I had been. That would have been a fucking funny picture, but no. But yeah, so that was the last film that I watched. It was great, honestly. It was a really nice. Copenhagen's beautiful. Hanging out with all the Valve guys is really cool. And the movie's amazing. Even if you don't like Dota, I recommend watching it. It's really, really interesting to see the inside the booth during this game and see how the two teams talk to each other and what they say about the other teams and stuff. And they, for the key moments of the games, they've got these little Source Filmmaker clips that run to sort of explain what was happening and to show the action. So rather than just always show the in-game action, sometimes they have these SFM movies And that adds to the hype. It's really, really cool. It's really cool. Nice. So yeah, that was worth doing.
So you actually did something kind of cool in 2019 so far.
I did, yeah.
Whereas
did.
Me and Lewis probably haven't. Lewis, I'm guessing nothing. You haven't done shit.
Only January, guys. And I just got nothing. This is like a race where I got started real early, and you're like, shit, he's already around the first corner, and here we are still plodding along. But don't worry. I
got a new fence. That was nice. Finished. No, you know what? That was finished before Christmas, so that's technically 2018. Yeah, so.
All right, I got another thing that happened. Mrs. F watched Marie Kondo, the tidying lady. She has a series on Netflix. So Mrs. F, when I first started going out with her, I went round to her house. So she would have been about 18. I would have been about 19. And her room was the messiest thing I've ever seen, right? My house was really tidy when I was younger. I used to keep my room real tidy. My mum was really a tidy kind of person.
You ran a tight ship.
Yeah, ran a tight fucking ship. Went to Mrs. F's house. I was like, Jesus Christ, her room is
She did not run a tight
ship. She did not. Her ship was loose. Let me tell you something. It was all over the fucking place. don't spread that rumor around. But this was one fucking loosey-goosey room, I'm telling you. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And generally speaking, I'm a pretty untidy person now. I've fallen into bad ways. I hoard shit. I've got like all stuff from when I was
15. Oh, God, tell me about it.
I've got CDs and D&D stuff and comics and stuff. I hate throwing stuff away. But she watches this series, and now she's obsessed with Marie Kondo, to the point where I came home from Denmark, and she opened the drawer where I keep my t-shirts, and she said, look at this. And all my t-shirts were neatly folded into like a sausage shape and in lines, like in rows. So I open the drawer and I can see all my t-shirts instantly. They're all just fucking in there. Now, normally I just stuff them in there like I'm trying to hide evidence. But instead, she had them all.
I think it's like one of those things like they, you know, this stuff happens a lot, right? Where something that works well in Japan and you go to Japan, you expect to see that in Japan is fine, but it doesn't work like in the West, right? Like out of Japan. You go to somebody's house.
What are you talking about?
And they're trying to be more Japanese and you're like, what are you doing? Just put your fucking shirts in the drawer. Just stuff them in there. Who cares?
Oh, man.
We don't need to roll them up nicely and make sure that the gap between each rolled up shirt is the same and stuff. We don't do that here. This isn't Japan. You know what
Take
I mean?
Take your like goddamn foreign shirt rolling out of my country, asshole. I'm going to put it on the fucking floor. How'd you like that?
I'm not racist, by the way. Racist. I'm just saying
He's
that.
He's not
like,
racist, but take your Japanese shit and get out. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. No,
violently
I'm just
racist.
I'm just joking around, but like, I don't know. It's like,
I know what you're saying.
It's one of those things now, isn't it? It's like, everything in Japan is so cool. we need to do more Japanese things. Let's all do Japanese things. Like, okay, fuck. Like, come on. That's what it's like now, isn't it? Fucking Japanese. Hits.
God damn Japanese. You sound like a 1960s dad. What kind of Japanese
this is,
car?
This is Vietnam Sips.
What's wrong with an American car? All these goddamn Japanese cars.
It's not how we do it in America.
It's America, god damn it. Hey, Dad, I bought a motorcycle. Is it Japanese? I don't want any goddamn Japanese motorcycles up in here. They're taking over.
Oh, God.
So, she, Marie Kondo, she wrote this book, didn't she? The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And I had a copy of it. Like, I got it, of course, 3 or 4 years ago.
Of course you did.
And I read it, and it's good. Do you know what? It's really good. It's like, it is very uplifting to have, like, a sort of a clean workspace and like clean stuff. But the thing is, it's very different to storage, right? A lot of what we were all taught previously was that, like, we all watched Hoarders, right? Everyone's seen that show where they go into some poor fucker's house and they're just hoard full of shit from, you know, floor to ceiling. And then,
look, I'm just gonna go. I'm the guy who's gonna say this. All right,
go for
if
it.
If you have time to roll up your shirts into fucking neat sauce, get a fucking life, okay? You have too much fucking time on your hands if you're doing that shit with your time and your life, all right? Get a fucking life. Like,
amen,
how about
brother.
That?
Amen, brother.
Jesus. Well, who has fucking time to do that shit?
But it's stages,
Christ.
Right? It's stages, okay? Like, so it's like, obviously one end of the spectrum is the hoarder with the house full of, you know, literally a pile of loads of rolled up newspapers full of shit just in case you need those. You know, you never know.
when
man,
you're
I'm
gonna
lucky
need...
if I can even wash my shirts, fucking let alone roll them up into sausages and neatly place them in
right,
the drawer.
Hang on.
Fuck.
Then in the middle,
I got mustard stains all over my t-shirts.
It's like in the middle of the spectrum is ordinary humans, and then who hang their shirts up, or I don't know, fold them up, right, in a pile. Okay, which is where I am. Okay,
right.
And then there's people with too much free time. Yeah, you're right. Like you're right, Sips. Who has time to roll up all the t-shirts into
oh,
sausages
so
and put them in a drawer?
Well done. You rolled up your shirts. Fuck you. All right. Fuck off.
We're all on the same
yeah,
page
yeah, get him, Sips. Fucking get him. Fuck.
Well, here you go, PFAX. How long is this going to last, though? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, this is it. Because here's the point. She's got the fucking kids doing it now. You know what I feel like? She's converted to, Jehovah's Witnessism or Scientology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's getting all the fucking kids into it. She's telling all the people who come over to the house, have you watched Marie Kondo? I was like, if she fucking tries preaching to my ass, I'm going to burn this place to the fucking ground.
Right.
You fucking burn your own house
organize
down.
Organize that! How about that? How neat is that? It's in a little pile of ashes.
I think this ash pile should be over here. And if we clean up the ash away from this area, and clear up the charred remnants of the children's bedrooms from here.
But I said to her, I ain't doing this shit. Like, she said, look, like as if I was meant to go, this is great, I'm going to do this forever. But I was like, I ain't doing that. Ever. if you want a condo, you better condo that shit yourself, baby. Because I ain't condoing it.
You condo it over there.
I con don't give a shit. I con don't give a shit.
Oh my god. Oh, we have a system in my house that revolves around leaving all of the clean washing in a basket in like a big lump. Okay, and you just pick through it for the stuff that you need.
Damn every right. morning, naked.
Every goddamn day. And you it works down, fine.
You come down naked in the morning and you fumble through
yeah.
it until you find a clean pair of pants.
It's fine. It
it's
works.
It's fine.
You know,
it looks
it
just
doesn't
fine.
Look nice, but who fucking cares?
Exactly.
If you come to my house and if you don't like that, well, you can just fucking go back to your own house. That's all perfect with rolled up sausage shirts or whatever.
You
that's
know what
fine.
I want to have? I'm going to have a drawer in my. I'm going to build a shed at the bottom of the garden with one of those big chest freezers in. And anyone that comes to my house and tells me that I should Marie Kondo it and it's untidy, I'm going to kill them, roll them up into a neat little sausage, and stack them in rows in my fucking freezer. That's the plan.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Fucking A.
You're like the serial killer equivalent of her.
Your Honor, they wouldn't shut up about Marie fucking Kondo. All right, I'm innocent. This guy's innocent. Get him out of here.
Case dismissed.
Now, where did I put that paperwork? He opens his drawer, just like a fucking million papers fly out. He's like your spirit animal, the judge. This guy's as messy as I am. Holy shit.
The whole jury is all disheveled. Kondo? This guy's
one
a saint.
Wearing his wife's like,
jury
shirt
is rigged.
Backwards.
Not only am I going to dismiss these charges, I want this man given the key to the city and $1 million annuity a year. Guys, find
oh,
my
fuck
me.
Oh, shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said. You know, if you have a tidy workspace or you have, like, a tidy home or whatever, you'll probably not be as mentally unstable or whatever, you know? It's like there's, like, a link, right, to, like, your mental state of being and your physical messiness and stuff. I don't know if it's a huge
you know what?
Link.
I don't think there is. Here's what I think it is. The people that need that shit and benefit from it have some major psychoses going on somewhere. And the only way they can suppress it, unlike with alcohol or getting high or just jerking off a lot, which is what most people do, they need to fastidiously tidy things to feel like they have control of their lives.
Right.
I actually think it's a replacement for actually being well. Like, if you go to someone's house and they are obsessively folding and tucking everything into corners, it must all be neat and tidy, put it away in this right place, oh, like nuts.
They start singing Mary Poppins
yeah.
songs and
they
stuff.
They fucking
yeah.
lost it. I don't think tidying is going to make them better. I think it's just anything. They just need something to focus on to take their minds off the crushing inevitability of their shitty lives.
There's lots of aspects to this, right? And I think that some of them are, like, psychological stuff, right? And I think that the main thing that she sort of talks about is that if you look at an object, it has to
spark joy, right? But there's also a classic adage, which I always remember, which is, don't have anything in your house that you do not find useful or beautiful, right?
What about my kids?
Well, I mean, you find your kids beautiful, right? Maybe.
Not useful, anyway. Lewis. They ain't useful.
Well, it doesn't have to be and, it could be or. Oh, so, right. I mean, okay. the point is that when you look at something and, like, you know, if it's like a mouldering, a dirty old mug, you think that's not really useful or beautiful. Let's clean it and put it away. And then it's not there. And
more to the point, it's not hygienic. I mean, that's kind of gross, right? Like, you don't want to leave dirty shit around, obviously.
True. Yeah, I mean, geez, I mean, I do the washing up. You know.
I'm not going to leave a plate with, like, fucking spaghetti bolognese sauce drying to it, like, in the middle of my living room. Because that's disgusting.
That's slobbery, right? That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm talking about obsessive tidying of shit that has a perfectly decent home already.
I think there's a lot of emphasis placed on objects, like you know, things that you buy or whatever. You shouldn't be attached to these things in the first place. Like, if your house burns down, they're gone. You know, like, you want to get people out of there because you should care about people. But, like, you know, if your fucking replica, you know, fucking Sephiroth body pillow burns in your house, well, you shouldn't really care that much. Who cares, right? It's just a fucking thing.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything.
I don't really value any material things. Yeah, I wouldn't care if I lost anything in my house. I would care if my kids and my wife died, but...
Yeah, I would be upset if I lost my computer, if I lost my vape. That would suck.
Yeah, I mean, but those are super replaceable things. I mean, Jesus.
I have got a few things I really do give a shit about, but it's just things like comics.
Sentimental things.
No, not really sentimental. I just know that I wouldn't be able to replace
them. Man, all my sentimental things are on Google Drive. Like, I can't think of anything that's not there. You know,
well, I think you guys don't have all this clutter and this knick-knackery crap, ends up hanging around.
I have clutter.
But like, a lot of the time, you know, it's hard to get over that psychological barrier when you've got, like, a little fucking thing that someone gave you, or a little, like, for example, I get sometimes these bits of fan mail, okay?
Yeah. Right.
And they're really nice, and, like, really nice messages, or they send me a little gift, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with those things. Do you see what I mean? And they end up, I just put them in a box or putting them in storage, or you know, and storage isn't like that, isn't tidying up. You know, what you're doing there is building up.
I think if you have stuff in storage, you might as well just take it to the dump, because you've pretty much said to yourself, I don't need this thing, and I'll forget about it. Never look at it again.
What if, because I a couple of years ago, when I redid my office here, I bought these big shelving units that go in a garage normally, and I keep all my shit. Let me just put my green screen down, and I'll give you guys a quick inventory. Hold on. So I've got all my best graphic novels and comics going back years. I've got DVDs for movies that I know are super hard to get hold of. I've got all my old Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing books, talking third edition, talking GURPS, talking like original Dragon magazines, a copy of Starfleet Battles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game, some board games that I love that nobody ever plays with me anymore, and a whole bunch of shit like Dota-related stuff and all loads of old CDs from when I was at university and stuff like that, and loads of books, like books that I love. So that's my organization. Some old records, some baseball cards, shit like that. And it's like, I wouldn't be able to replace those easily. And if I lost them in a fire, it would suck. But I haven't touched them in years. I just like having them. You know, it's just things that remind me of stuff I've done.
But they're organized and they're tidy.
No, I think if my house caught on fire and burnt down to the ground, the only things that I would be not even sad to lose, inconvenienced by losing, are my passport.
Yeah,
and
God,
the shoebox full of money because I don't trust the banks or the system that I keep under my desk. That's about it. That's it. Yeah. Those are the only things that would really inconvenience me heavily. Everything else is just like, who cares? I would just, I'm not saying that I'm rich enough to go out and replace, but I'm pretty sure I have contents insurance on my house. So, like, most of, like, the pretty usual crap. I could replace my bread maker and stuff and my Alexa, no problem. I wouldn't care. Like, whatever.
It would be annoying because I know that the part of me thinks, what if I forgot things I had and didn't replace them? And then you realize, then that means I don't need them. Like, if it's something where I wouldn't even notice if I lost it, I need it? But it's weird, the collection.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty with
things.
Insurance, because if you don't have an inventory, you're like, I did have a gigantic framed glossy picture of Marilyn Monroe on my... But no, I didn't have a TV. You know what I mean? You swap and change. Yeah. You're like, fucking... You know, I'm almost 40 years old. There's certain things that I have in my house that I don't really need anymore.
I think that's it, right? Because I think all the things that clutter up your life are kid-related stuff. Like, I remember when I was a kid, it was always... Like Lego, like I built something out of Lego, and then, or you know, that would go on a shelf, and I wouldn't want to break it up, right? Or like cards, or like toys, or like games, and like even today, it's like Warhammer models and like fucking stupid little plushies and mascots and little toys, and you know, Simon's desk is always covered in these things because it's hard to like figure out what to do with this Lego R2-D2 once you built it. You know, where does it go? Like, yeah. And Simon's always building this stuff because he really enjoys the physical act of like putting stuff together. But, you know, what happens when you're finished with it? Does it go back? It has to go back in the box, and that box has to go on a shelf, and then you end up with lots and lots of shelves, lots and lots of these things. And it's
you
like,
should watch the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin for an idea of what happens to these things when they're done.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But no, it definitely is like toys and that kind of thing, which for me is like definitely like a major source of clutter, because I'm not actively playing with toys. And I think that growing older makes you automatically realize that you don't necessarily need to surround yourself with this clutter. But then my great uncle John, God bless his soul. I think he's actually still alive. I haven't spoken to him in a long time.
Sorry, John.
Shout out to Uncle John.
His house is full of clutter. Like, absolutely every wall is got a china plate in a frame on it. Like, all over the walls are like a whole wall of china plates, and the next one a whole wall of cases of thimbles, and then mounted on the seat, on like hanging around the ceiling in every single room is like the Toby jugs, you know, hundreds and hundreds of these things. Like,
he does
so much of just clutter in his place, but it's all organized. It's all very
organized.
Kind of
chaos.
Feels like an old school tavern or like a kind of weird.
Well,
medieval...
I was gonna say, I kind of like you remember that movie, The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah, I love that movie.
The house in that movie that had like you know, like the room full of books and stuff. Yeah. Like, so certain clutter can look like kind of good, right? Like you go into like some intellectuals' house and they just got fucking books everywhere and like piles of papers and
my friend's dad had a proper study. Like, when I go around to his house and his
wall-to-wall bookcases and
but
stuff.
His mum and his dad didn't get along.
Right.
She was waiting for him to die so she could get the house and sell it. Like, that was literally it. They were pretty open about it. They'd been married for a long time. They were both too lazy to fucking remarry, I guess. So he had this study and it was like a proper old dude study. Like, he smoked in there, so it was just smelled smoke all the time. But it was cool because it meant I could smoke in there when I went around to my friend's house. And wall-to-wall ancient books. I don't know how many of them he'd ever fucking read. And he had, like, the old armchair with the fireplace and a TV. It was like, this was his den. And I thought,
awesome.
I get it. Like, I fucking get it. He had, like, an air rifle in the corner propped up against the wall, like, just ready in case someone came in.
A man space.
It really was. And it actually inspired me in many ways to become a really fusty, slightly smelly old man that sits in a room and smokes. In fact, I think, in a way, that's what got me into streaming.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
Man. One of my friends growing up, his dad
was
the same. He used to smoke like a chimney. And it wasn't like a proper, I guess the basement was like more of a, he's turned the basement into a man's den now. He's a big outdoorsy kind of guy. But in Canada, that's like seasonal, right? Mm-hmm. So in the summer, he loves camping and he's got a canoe for portaging and stuff like that. This is the same guy that we did the portage with.
Nice.
And he's got all of his fishing equipment down there and stuff. And he's got like a model racetrack.
Back in Nam.
But during like the cold months when he can't do all of those fun things, he plays lots of like war games on the computer in his like a room off of the, it's meant to be a dining room, but they had all their computers in there, and he would just like sit there in like ripped jean shorts with no shirt on, smoking and stuff.
Awesome.
And I always thought, this is the kind of guy I want to be when I'm older. I didn't realize it at the time, actually. When I was younger, I was like, I don't want to be like that. But now that I'm older, I'm like, I want to be exactly like that.
I get why
he was like that.
I feel like if I could go back in time, I've thought about this a lot. Would it be cool to go back to be like 11, but know everything that you know now? Oh, I think it would be—you'd be the smartest fucking kid ever.
Oh,
like you
God,
really would.
You'd be able to hustle so much
right? It would be unbelievable.
Think of all the lunch money that you could steal in very novel ways and stuff. Like you could absolutely run rings around these kids with this knowledge.
I was
like,
thinking of using it to enjoy life, but you just want to go
no,
back
I
to commit crime.
No, I would definitely capitalize off this freak occurrence where somehow I've teleported back to being an 11-year-old with my current mind.
Yeah.
I would totally take advantage of that in every way.
I mean, there's some moral quandaries. There's some moral quandaries. Because I had a girlfriend when I was like 11 and when I was like, you know, early years, 12, 13, stuff like that. I had a girlfriend.
Yeah,
it's morally very questionable for you to be
You're all about first base at that age,
aren't
you?
Yeah, but you're a 43-year-old man now. Well,
yeah.
I almost am.
Now I'm all about home runs nowadays, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but that's
but
what anime is all about. It's about a 43-year-old man in an 11-year-old's body,
exactly.
Right?
That's fucked up. So you'd have to be
pretty
chaste. You'd have to be completely chaste until you were like 16. But even then, I'm thinking probably 18, right? Before it's really morally acceptable.
You could lay a lot of groundwork in that time, I guess. You could do a lot of priming.
Get some vines
not,
out.
Not in a creepy way, though.
So what you're saying is you want to go back in time to groom children.
Yeah, no. No, not at all. No.
To prepare a whole load of Minecraft videos to groom children with. What?
Oh,
no.
All right, let's move on.
God.
This topic is fucked.
Well, so is anime, and everybody seems to watch it, so jeez.
I'm actually a 10,000-year-old demon in the body of an 11-year-old boy.
So it's fine. Oh, fuck me.
Oh,
shit. I don't know, though. You'd have to go through, you know, like, when you're 11, I don't know, actually. I think life is pretty good when your teens, though, are kind of tricky, aren't they? They're like,
but you'd
I don't
be
know
the
if
most confident
relive-
teenager ever. Because you'd be like, no, the world isn't coming to an end because
I
I'm
suppose,
going to
yeah, you probably would be. But then what if it was like one of those things where like at the stroke of midnight on the 31st of the 12th month, you will revert back to being a 40-year-old. So you've got like this girlfriend and stuff and she thinks you're so cool and the whole school thinks you're cool and it's prom night and you're just about to have the big dance with the girl and then the clock strikes midnight at prom night when you're 11 for some reason and boom, you turn back into like her dad.
We have to go back.
That would just be
Marty,
the worst, right?
We're still gonna fuck, right? It's prom night.
Oh my god, get away from me!
This bitch ain't gonna put out, boys. Save your breath.
But that's how the story goes, isn't it? Like you can't go back to being an 11-year-old with your current mindset without there being some sort of catch at the stroke of midnight, right?
Yeah,
there's got to be some sort of transformation or
I mean
you know,
in the movie Big, when the little kid became Tom Hanks got laid.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone was like, "Cool. She slept with a child." What
that's
I'm saying
true.
Is
actually yeah.
And at the end of it, she's like gives him a sweet little wave and it's like, "Well, you just fucked a 10-year-old or however old he is in the movie." It's weird. It's weird.
I appreciate the wave, but I've seen your pussy. I'm ruined now.
Keep
for
waving,
the rest of
waving
my life.
From the dock when I charge you with abusing a minor, bitch.
Yeah, that's
weird.
Right.
The movie
yeah.
Big is kind of creepy. But in a weird way, it's, I don't know, the way they presented it, I guess it's not. But if you think about it, a grown-up's brain in the body of a child, like, what is it, the vampire Lestat? There's the, I think it was Kirsten Dunst when she was a child actor. She was in Vampire.
Oh, yeah,
Stat
she was
movie.
A child actor, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She came up as a, yeah.
But she was a old,
but not
she
like
was
a
like
small child.
Years
she
old.
Was like, yeah.
She was like a young teen, but she was like hundreds of years old in the body of a child. And again, I'm just saying that people that are super into vampire shit, like that's, you know, like I'm pretty sure she was having sex in the book, but it's like, oh, it's okay because she's an old person's brain in the body of a child. Like, no, that's not okay.
No.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
That's kind
of
weird,
how much
of
it is in the brain? Because then once you get on that road, then you're basically saying, well, they were a very mature 12. You know, it's like, no, that's not how it works. So let's stop the time travel.
Yeah.
We won't ever do this, all right?
Yeah, let's not do that. We'll stop. We'll put an end to the time travel right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Because
yeah.
it's starting
let's make
to
sure.
seem like a, it's like almost like it's almost like a, like some sort of conditioning or some sort of thing like that maybe pedophiles use to
yes,
like
I think
you know,
it probably
almost,
is.
justify their actions or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we should definitely avoid time travel.
Also, can we stop any body switching as well?
Yeah,
any
no body switching.
Switched? Because the first thing anyone does in any fucking movie where they get switched into someone else's body is take a look down their top.
Yep.
It always happens. And they're like, ooh. And they like, squeeze nice. Their own boobs.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the woman just looks really uncomfortable in the man's body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Terrible.
It's like, oh, this is gross. Do you not roll your t-shirts up into like sausages? Or something?
God, this person
do you just
like
pick through the washing basket in the morning?
Jeez.
Like an animal?
There's one clean basket and one dirty basket. This is actually not a bad system. I'm surprised. I thought I needed sausage rolled, but this system of one dirty basket and one clean basket is just fine.
Yeah. That would be the Marie Kondo body swap movie where a slobby 42-year-old, aka me, swaps bodies and places with Marie Kondo. She's horribly disappointed with her situation. I'm just like, well, this is okay.
This is the same.
I'd love a show like that where, you know, it's like one of those shows where the expert comes in and like, you know, helps you declutter and like, you know, fucking turn your life around and stuff. I'd love a show like that, but the expert gradually
gives up.
No, their standards makes gradually lower as the series progresses and then they become these just fucking awful slobs who like make do. Like by the end of the series, they're just like, yeah, well, you just need one basket full of dirty laundry and another basket full of clean laundry.
Now what we're
going
to do is scatter some Magic the Gathering cards around the end of this desk here, and then we're going to just put some Dota 2 plushies over here, just random ones. You know, it's not even a collection.
This episode was meant to be about reusing old magazines to make birthday and Christmas cards for your fam, but you know what? Just don't send them anything. Who cares? Send them an email card. It's fine.
That
it'll do.
Great. I would watch that.
I would watch that too.
Well, like you know those fussy eater shows where the guy only eats cheese and onion crisps
yes.
and shit like that.
Oh, those
I would like
are
it
weird,
if,
eh?
If the expert turns up and says your diet is terrible. He's like, just try one of these crisps. It's amazing.
And he just turns
just
into
eats a crisp and then it just goes to a shot of them on the sofa, surrounded by piles of eaten cheese and onion crisp packets.
Just watching Marie Kondo on Netflix being like, we should be doing this.
Fuck you, Kondo.
I saw that, and there's a guy who can't eat anything except for cheese. So, like, his dinner was just a mountain of grated cheese on a plate. Oh, God, you'd feel so sick after eating that much cheese.
You know
I blame cheese, don't get me wrong.
I blame parents in all instances, because there's no way this guy suddenly hit upon this idea when he was in his 20s. Like when he was young,
you
like
had to have been enabled somehow,
exactly.
right?
Like, I've had kids over the house to play
someone
with.
Someone would have had to
girls.
Buy him the cheese.
Right.
Hey, man. Hey, can you buy me some cheese? Can you buy me some mature cheddar?
They told me I can't buy any fucking, what is it called? Something cathedral?
Cathedral cheese.
Cathedral cheese.
I want some Monterey Jack. They won't sell it to me.
The mature shit's on the highest shelf.
Get me some really stinky shit.
Cathedral City cheddar or whatever the fuck. But I've had kids over and the parents say, I'm like, what am I going to cook them for dinner? And the parent says, well, they'll only eat either chicken nuggets and chips or pasta. I was like, oh, what kind of sauce? Oh, no, just pasta, like on its own, nothing on it.
Oh, the kids love that.
Yeah,
pasta
but it's like
just
literally
cheese
nothing.
On it and
no,
stuff?
No, nothing.
God, that's gross.
This kid wouldn't eat cheese. It was just boiled pasta. And like,
fuck.
I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, you know, that kid's going to be real hungry if he doesn't eat.
Yeah, I keep a list of those
them.
Kids. When they come to my house, that's the first and only time they ever come because
damn right.
fuck, I don't have time for that shit.
Just eat. And if your
put
parents,
some fucking
if they
sauce
say they
on your
don't
pasta.
Like it, you know what
Christ.
Else they don't like? Starving to death.
Yeah.
Just don't give them any fucking food. Just say you either eat your dinner or you go fucking hungry.
Yeah.
What happened to parenting? There's
my
no
kids
book
eat
that
fucking
says
anything.
Kids
like,
pasta.
It's a daily struggle to make sure that they don't eat fucking non-food. Like they'll eat anything you put in front of them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get fussy eaters at all.
Damn right.
Fucking crazy. What are you doing? What the fuck are you guys doing out there?
Yeah, ridiculous. Jeez.
Anyway,
then again, what you could do is just do what fucking Donald Trump does. The kids would love a trip
get
the to the fucking
out,
White House.
I'm a billionaire, but have a Wendy's burger on me. It's on
oh
me.
My God, so Donald Trump is like my great Uncle John.
He is.
Yeah.
He's just a big child.
Does he have all of the...
It all makes sense.
Does he have a lot of clutters? I saw this thing about Donald Trump where apparently like before... before they did The Apprentice, Donald Trump was like a bit of a joke, right? They always made fun of him on Saturday Night Live and stuff. He was kind of like this washed up, might have been billionaire sort of thing. And everybody,
like
just,
Alan Sugar.
Everybody just sort of made fun of him. And then they got the idea to go and do The Apprentice. I'm sure I've said this before. They got the idea to do The Apprentice and they wanted to, you know, they thought, oh, fuck, you know, this guy's got a lot of money. We'll go up to his office and that can be the set. You know, we'll go into his office must be really nice and stuff. So they get to the top of
Legos,
Trump Tower or whatever. And it was just like, they said it was gross. It was like, hadn't been touched since like the 70s. Like fucking wallpaper peeling off and like damp spots on the carpet.
Like a
and
fucking
stunk
used car
and everything.
Salesman's showroom.
Yeah, so then they were like, oh, well, we got to build a set now. They were hoping to not have to build a set and they had
well,
to.
Well, that's what I heard because you told me this before that the media, the sort of showrunners and stuff had created this persona around him, which then he latched onto.
Yeah.
And kind of became this persona.
Yeah.
And then
like probably got him elected as well because people.
And so, do you know what? Salacious shit TV created Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's why Christine Chubbuck commits suicide. Did she die for nothing? Did she die for nothing?
Think of Chungus.
She probably
think
did,
of
yeah.
Christine Chungus.
Fuck.
Don't do that, for God's sake.
Man, oh man.
I can't believe this. I can't believe like the White House though. There's nothing worse than cold fast food, is there? Holy shit.
Yeah, that was my first thought was I've had burgers delivered. Like, we actually, when we were at the Bucharest...
But wait, were they on heated plates, though, or not?
No, because it ain't going to stay. It's like a mound. Like, if you go to McDonald's, by the time you get to your house or wherever you're taking the burgers, they ain't hot. They're never
hot. Fast food goes cold fast. That's why it's called fast food.
The ones in the middle of the mound will probably still be a bit warm, though,
But warm isn't the same. You want a hot burger. I mean, there's nothing worse than a cold fucking cheeseburger.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Like chips. If you've ever eaten cold chips, it's the worst food.
I have, yeah.
It's horrible food.
It is the worst food.
It is gross.
You can't eat them cold. You can't eat them the next day. It's a disaster, right?
By the way, just quickly, you know how you drink... Sometimes you'll come back to like a cup of coffee that's gone cold, right?
Yeah.
And you'll drink it and it's room temperature, but it tastes like cold. You know how the state things we happens with beer, but if it's room temperature, it tastes warm.
Yeah.
Because we say beer's gone warm, but coffee's gone cold, but they're both the same temperature.
Uh-huh.
Just let that just explode your mind for a second.
What a fucking statement from Lewis there. It's unbelievable.
My mind is still in the same state it was 5 seconds ago before you told me that useless story, actually.
Okay. Mine is in a lower state. You've actually annoyed me with that.
God, I feel like just like a little bit vexed now.
I actually don't mind cold coffee. Like, I don't mind it.
I drink cold tea all the time. Yeah. I always forget I have it, and I don't want to waste it, so I just drink it.
I don't
it.
Mind a bit of iced coffee. No, iced tea. It's fine.
Honestly, I used to hate it. Once you've had kids, you never get to drink a cup of coffee to completion while it's hot anyway. Like, you'll have a sip, and you have to put it down to go and rescue someone or stop something happening or break up a fight, and then you forget about it. You come back, you're like, oh, I never drank my coffee. But you've got so little time and so little energy, you ain't going to make another one or reheat that shit. You just get used to drinking it cold. It's fine. It's no problem.
Warm beer isn't the end of the world for me either. I mean, don't get me wrong. A cold beer, there's nothing like it.
Oh,
like
baby.
Ice cold beer. But yeah, if it gets warm or whatever, it doesn't bug me that much.
I could go for a cold beer right now. It's 11
a.m. Oh, God.
I really
could. When it has like the condensation on the side of the bottle, like because it's so cold. Oh, shit.
You know, I love it. I love it in America. They never do this in the UK, but not that I've seen, is the glass is frozen cold. You know what I mean? So
it's almost like a frosted glass. Yeah.
Like when you
crazy.
First touch it, you leave the little icy fingerprints on it, like where you've pushed into the frost.
It's nice.
You take that first sip of cold beer, washes down your throat.
Especially when you live somewhere really fucking humid. Like where I grew up was super humid. Like Florida's pretty humid.
Yeah.
New York's fairly humid. Those places in the summer, if you have a beer that's in one of those frosted glasses, oh, there is nothing like it.
Oh,
fuck
man.
Me, it is the best. Oh, jeez.
You know that movie Ice Cold in Alex? It's about a black and white movie, World War II. They have to make this journey across the desert to get to, I think, Alexandria. And when they get there, they go up to the bar, and the first thing they do is have a beer. And it's honestly the greatest beer drinking scene in cinema history. They used it in an advert.
Nah, come on. The one in Shawshank Redemption's got to be the best.
No, dude.
When they're roofing.
This one's better. Right, but then it's like he's doing it to win them over and everything. Like, I get it. But
but they look so refreshing. They look so fucking hot up there on that roof.
Dude.
Like,
dude. These guys just went through the fucking desert. And it, honestly, when you watch the movie, it's like the worst, dustiest, hot shit fucking desert. And there's like Germans around and it's miserable. They're all covered in sand dust. Weeks.
Yeah, but
weeks
it's black and white.
Here.
You can't even see the gold beer though. Like
no, but you can sense it. And when he looks at it like lovingly for a moment and then he sips the beer and you think, I wish I could have that horrible experience just to have that beer. That it would be worth it for that beer because it would be the best beer you've ever drank.
Another scene that I always associate with hydration and feeling good after being hydrated is that scene in the Three Amigos. You know, when they're in the desert and they're all really fucking dry.
Oh, I love that.
And like and Lucky goes for his cantina and there's no water in it. And then Ned goes for his and sand comes out of it. And then Dusty's just like some sort of fucking human camel. He's got all of his water. Chevy Chase is just chugging it back. And it's like the most refreshing scene you've ever seen in your life. Oh, man.
And then he,
so
like, he rinses his mouth. He's like washing his face. He just throws it on the floor, right? It's just leaking out. Goop, goop, goop.
And there's another scene in Three Amigos as well where this is like, I don't know if this is some sort of like Chevy Chase meme or something. But in every movie I've seen him in, he always seems to bite into something very crispy or crunchy or like stringy that he can't quite, and there's like a scene that lasts about 5 minutes with him just like sort of eating this thing, because it happens in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as well. Remember when the turkey is like overcooked?
I think
he's
trying to
eat it as well.
Lack of originality. I mean, they're like, Chevy, we need a scene here. It's like, what if I do my old bit where...
you know, I can't quite eat this thing. It's too stringy and crispy.
It's tough to eat something. sure, whatever. Or maybe it's contractual.
Okay, Chevy, just do it.
I'll do the movie, but only if there's a scene, quite an extended scene, where I struggle to eat something.
Yeah, and Three Amigos, it was the bat. Remember, they're cooking bats. They have to eat the cooked bats.
I checked out like 5 minutes ago. Can we finish this podcast? Let's go.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. Let's wrap it up.
Bye.
Let's wrap it up.
Happy 2019. See you soon. Bye.